Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. Brought to you by Texas First Bank on Sports Radio 610.
Show up, do your job. If you don't, you're going to get fired. Over time, that develops into a culture because you get the kind of people that do that, and then all of a sudden you've got a winning culture. Instead, everybody wants to do it the reverse way. Like, we're going to create a culture. Yeah. It's going to be super fancy and awesome and nice, and then all of you guys, you'll reach your fullest potential as human beings. It'll be just groovy. Hey, look at me. Until I got to the Patriots, Bill Belichick was never even a good coach. Oh, wait, yeah, he was. He'd already won a whole bunch of Super Bowls. Get rid of all this fluff talk about culture and go out and do your job.
That is the line that I was talking about from Seth Payne, that you can't say it any better than that. You really can't, because you talk about culture. You want to build a culture. Everybody wants that type of thing, that everybody is, cut from the same cloth, pulling in the same direction. And that's fine. That's great. But you got to have good players. You have to have good management. You have to have good leadership. And that's where it all starts. And then the culture kind of becomes an organic thing. I give you the Houston Astros as the perfect example of how that culture was organic from the inside out, not from the top down.
All right. You just pulled up Jack Easterby's bio on HoustonTexans.com.
I sure did.
It's the longest one on there, by the way.
I sure did.
Read for me what you just read for me on Jack Easterby's bio.
At some point, I don't think it has been this way all year long. I really don't. But at some point, his bio apparently has been updated. So, as you mentioned, he has the longest bio of anybody that I saw in the front. Maybe I missed somebody, but anybody that I saw on the front office, including Cal McNair, his bio is longer than that in terms of words and things and accomplishments, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This is the first paragraph. I don't remember this last sentence being in it not too long ago. I could be wrong, but here it is. Jack Easterby was named the Executive Vice President of Football Operations on January 28th, 2020, being promoted to that role after joining the Houston Texans as Executive Vice President of Team Development in April 19th. Now here it is. Wait for it. In his role, Easterby manages all football operations and directs the overall culture of the organization. It's in the first paragraph that he, quote, directs the overall culture of the organization.
So, and I feel like Nick and Jack and all those guys, they've done a great job of bringing guys
in. So how
in
good
here.
Of a job has he done? Like, I mean, if we're just judging performance, because he was a crappy GM, he was not a good right-hand man for Bill, how would you say the culture's doing? So we're 2 months in, bro. Like, we're a couple months into the season. Yeah. Like, how would you say he's done if we're just judging it on performance?
Awful.
And the problem is, if it's broke, that's going to be the guy in charge of fixing it. Yeah. That's the thing. This is the guy that had a significant hand when you needed to change it. And now, if the culture is broke, that's going to be the guy that's going to try to fix it? Okay.
The problem with this organization is culture right now. Because that's all they have. That's what they're hanging their hats on collectively, is we have this culture. And that's what's going to lead us to win. Well, you're gutting it, first of all. And he is the culture. It's in his bio. No, it's not. It's not just Landry and I saying this. It's in his bio, directs the overall culture of the organization. I mean, that's just thumbing your nose at fans and such.
... During his career devoted to the development of character and organizational culture, Easterby has strived to create leaders in organizations that demand equal opportunities for all individuals. During his time in New England, he was featured by the Boston Business Journal's Leaders in Diversity for his passion for diversity among leaders. Again, that's misleading. That is like a spreadsheet that is misleading, because you're not, if you could go to name a country and you could just bring in as many different guys, different cultures as you want. But if you're hiring a guy that is your understudy to be the character coach and guys that you know to come in or guys that are going to say yes to you to do that, then that's not diversity. Like if I hire like the most diverse staff, but to oversee them, I bring in a character coach like Dylan Thompson, who's my understudy, who has the exact same beliefs as me, who comes from South Carolina, yada, yada, yada. And he's overseeing their character. And he has the title, the unique title, by the way. Not many NFL teams have a, quote, character coach. There's a chaplain.
Yeah.
But he's calling it a character coach, mm-hmm. which is weird because there are a lot of different religions. Like, if you wanted to call Dylan the chaplain, okay, I could see that because that's optional. But character, I'm assuming that all religions value character in some way, shape, or form.
Of course.
So you're bringing in a guy with your beliefs, and he's the character coach, he's the chaplain. That's not diversity, bro.
No. No, that's not.
And bringing in a guy like David Coley, who you're just going to walk all over, and he's going to do whatever you tell him to, and he wouldn't be able to work anywhere else. I don't care if he's black. Like, that's not diversity. That's just bringing in somebody who's going to say yes to you. You didn't bring in Eric Bieniemy. Yeah. He's going to jump on you like a trampoline if you say some of the stuff you're going to say. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not, I don't care if David Coley's African American and you brought him in. If you're just looking at it as a spreadsheet, that's fine. You brought him in because he's going to say yes to you, bud.
Yeah, absolutely.
That ain't diversity. Diversity is not just like different ethnicities. No, diversity is like different
is backgrounds,
mindsets, all that. You bring in yes men that happen to have different colored skin. That ain't diversity.
I've always
bud.
Defined diversity
Sorry,
as,
man.
As cultures,
it's not.
Different cultures and different backgrounds. That's diversity. Because you want to be able to I'm not going to get on a soapbox, but you want to be able to kind of absorb different points of view and reach a meeting point so that you can have a number of different types of people, different backgrounds that kind of then pull in the same direction. And that's why I got on kind of a rant earlier about just where this team is now in the wake of the Ingram trade. Look, trading Mark Ingram by itself is not a big deal. Guy kind of on his last legs. Good player. Certainly a good teammate. Well-liked. Those guys get traded all the time, right? The problem is, this is the guy you hang your hat on. He and Brandon Cooks, I'm not even talking on the field. I'm talking about just like, all right, you want to know what the Houston Texans football is going to be like in the future? Look at Mark Ingram. Look at Brandon Cooks. Oh, wait. Those guys,
all about being a Texan.
Exactly. We're gonna run those guys out of town as well, because who knows what happened or whatever. Maybe it was just a football move, trading draft picks. I don't know how that can be that great of a football move. And this is why I went on that semi rant earlier in the day. I've never had or sensed from others such an absolute feeling of complete hopelessness with an organization. It's depressing. I've followed, been a huge fan of, and covered a bunch of really, really bad teams. But there was always that one thing that happened that maybe gave you a little bit of glimmer of hope for the future. I gave the example earlier when Franchione was a coach at A&M. They lost to Oklahoma 73-0.
I remember Jackson Appel celebrating when they let up too. That was embarrassing.
Yeah. And I was like, well, at least now I know he's getting fired and there will be a change in the future. You don't get that with the Texans, because that dude is still here and not going anywhere. They want to really know. I've often said, and I believe this, other people have said it as well, you know, that the opposite of hate is the opposite of love is not hate, it's apathy. Well, even worse than apathy is complete hopelessness, like complete helplessness, because you just sit there and like, all right, well, I guess something else has got to occupy my time. That's bad, man. And that's Jack Easterby. That's that. You want to know what Jack Easterby has done to this organization? The worst thing he's done is that.
Deshaun Watson, 5 days for the Texans to make the trade. We were confused yesterday about what the Miami Herald and Houston Chronicle were going back and forth about. And Pat McAfee on Mad Dog Radio with his co-host AJ Hawk, just as confused.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
Yeah, Barry Jackson, anyway, he of the Miami Herald is reporting that the Houston Chronicle reported that the Dolphins and Texans have agreed on a trade, and via the Houston Chronicle are being traded, and the Stephen Ross only would like only okay with this if he had clarity on the law situation, legal situation, but that isn't going to be settled by November 2nd. So what is Barry Jackson of the Miami Herald reporting? Well, he's reporting that the Houston Chronicle is reporting something, and then John McClain of the Houston Chronicle said, I never reported that. So who's cooking up bullshit here? It seems like everybody at this
point. Everyone involved has, I mean, there's just so much out there. I don't know what to believe. I have no idea.
John F. and McClain. That's so bad.
J.J. Watt out for the season.
Did you see the injury? We thought
shoulder, right?
We thought, well, it was a shoulder injury. Then I heard dislocated shoulder injury, and I went, ooh. But wait, there's more. The dude played 3 snaps after this injury. Keep that in mind.
Are we going to go Charlie Morton now?
Charlie Morton wishes he was as tough as J.J. Watt. He tore his bicep. Was it? Well, I sent it to you. I want to make sure I get it exactly
right.
Rotator cuff. That's the one I was thinking. And pec, and dislocated his shoulder. Played 3 more snaps. Unbelievable. So definitely done for the year.
It's Around the NFL presented by Texas First Bank, 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Astros, even the series, on to Atlanta. What we know and what we don't know and what has turned into a best of 5 series next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, Astros, what do we know? What do we fear? What do we hope with the World Series underway? What do you feel best about right now with the Astros? Best of 5 series against the Atlanta Braves. Atlanta with the home field advantage. We've seen Fromber wet the bed. We saw Urquidy bounce back. Luis Garcia going to be on the mound. What do you feel best about heading into Atlanta?
I mean, the two most consistent players on the team you got to feel best about. That's not Jose Altuve. It's not Bregman. It's really, I mean, it's Michael Brantley and Tucker. I mean, Tucker has just been nails in this. So mid to late in the lineup, you just feel so confident. That's offensively. On the mound, this bullpen has done, I mean, be just an absolute 180. And that has been so key. It was key yesterday, too. It really was. We talked about the path. You know, Javier was one of those elements of it. And then he did a little switcheroo there at the back of the bullpen rotation with Graveman late and Presley early because of the batters that he was facing. I would say I'll throw Yuli in there, too. But really, Brantley, Tucker, Yuli. It's always been Altuve, Bregman, Correa. Altuve, Bregman, Correa. It's Brantley, Tucker, Yuli right now that I am most confident in, 100%, and the bullpen.
Okay, so Brantley, Tuck, Yuli. You don't want to put Alvarez in there?
Yeah, I mean, yes and
does
no.
Does he suck now?
No, well, no, he didn't suck. We know what he did in the ALCS. But, I mean, those guys are just all, I mean, nonstop. They just get hits. You know, they just.
So you feel good about them?
Yeah.
What do you feel worst? What do you feel the worst about? What's your least amount of optimism with the Astros heading into the 5-game series now with Atlanta having the home field advantage?
3 games in Atlanta with 2 outs at the bottom of the lineup. You're going to have a pitcher, and you're going to have
a catcher who hits worse than a pitcher.
Yes. You can't. This is those outs are so valuable, man. I mean, you think, well, they'll get them at the top of the. No, you can't count on that. You know, you have an opportunity to score. And you don't capitalize because you're giving away outs, that comes back to haunt you in the postseason.
Well, I mean, if you look at it this way, like, it's about balancing importance, right? Like, mm-hmm. with Maldonado. Like, he's good at this, so you tolerate him being bad at this. But in these situations in the National League, like, even in, like, the second inning, and I know that that's early in the game, but in, like, the second inning, let's say that the Astros are coming up, and let's say it's 5-6. It's 5-6-7-8-9 is due up. 5-6-7-8-9. If you get the first out, let's say you get the first out, and whoever's batting fifth, mm-hmm. Correa or whoever, you get that first out. If now all of a sudden you have Yuli and Tuck coming up, who you just said you feel good about,
yeah.
Then you can actually pitch around both of those guys. You can pitch around Yuli. You could even walk Yuli.
Mm-hmm.
Then you could walk Tuck.
Definitely give them nothing to hit.
Exactly. Yeah. And then with 1 out, 2 men on, you're facing Maldonado and then you're facing the pitcher.
Right.
So you're basically eliminating, like, it's not just about, oh, we're giving up 1 out in the American League and you're going to have the DH.
Right.
You're eliminating 2 guys that you feel good about because with 6, 7, 8, 9 coming up, I can walk Yuli, I can walk Tuck, and then I can pitch to Maldonado in the pitcher, especially early in the game. In the second mm-hmm. inning, that's a foregone conclusion.
Right.
That's what's going to happen, like, in the second inning.
Right.
So you're basically giving up an inning. It's not about giving up one bat anymore. You're giving up an inning in the World Series when you have Maldonado and you have the pitcher there, and you can say, well, it's just the second. Okay. I mean, did you see the second inning yesterday?
There's only 9 of them.
Did you see the second inning yesterday?
Yeah, that's what decided the game.
Did you see what happened with that second inning?
Right.
Did you see who started that inning?
Right.
It was Tucker with the hit. It was Yuli with the hit. And then you had Siri come up and get the infield single. Then Maldonado got the single. In the National League ballpark, in the second inning, in that same situation, you pitch around Tuck. You pitch around Yuli.
Yeah.
And then Maldonado is not going to get a hit more times than not. And you pitch to him and you pitch to the pitcher. It's a big difference.
It's a huge difference. Let me give you another example. All right. Because this is very common in baseball. The Astros have been absolutely killer. Maybe not so much in this series, but certainly against Boston with 2 out RBIs. Okay. So let's say there's 1 out and the fifth, the number 5 hitter comes in. Boom, single. All right. So there's 1 out, man on first. Then you get a double, all right, at number 6. You get first, you get second and third, 1 out. Then you got second and third with 1 out, say there's a strikeout, whatever it is, all right, another out. Nobody comes in. You got runners on second and third with 2 outs, and you got the number 8, number 9 guy coming up. That cannot be wasted. And that's just one example that we see a lot. You know, runners in scoring position with 2 outs, you have to be able to bring those guys in. And you just can't give those innings away. So that absolutely is the scariest part of this team, going into the National League.
It is. Yeah. And I don't know how you avoid that other than just being really quick to pull the trigger. But that second inning, there's a very strong chance that second inning yesterday doesn't happen in Atlanta, because unless you're just going to assume that Maldonado is going to get a hit, which I don't think you can. Yeah. So that's the danger of it. You go from giving up a bat to giving up an inning, and that's something Dusty's going to have to figure out. The good news here, and you couldn't say the same about AJ, although the Astros did win more games on the road in 2019. Those were the only games they won than they did at home, but he is a National League guy, and I mean – he managed in the National League more, so it's nothing that's going to catch him by surprise. But you know, sometimes loyalty can screw you, and the balancing of Maldonado and what he is or isn't, it's a much more difficult balance than it was before. So I'm with you on that. I'm a little concerned. What about the outfield? Because you're going to have Tuck in center. I think he can play a good center field.
Yeah,
but you're going to have Brantley and Alvarez on the corners.
Look, I'd rather have it than not. That I know you have to sacrifice some. You're not going to have the defense. You're not going to have the experience defensively. If I remember correctly, because I looked at it at the start of the series, left field is 335 down the lines in Atlanta. Right field is 325. So that means slightly small. It's a regular dimension. It's just different distances. So it's just kind of the arc outfield over there too. So it's not enormous down the lines. That helps. Alvarez and Brantley, you know, Brantley can't run quite like he used to, and Alvarez just hadn't played the outfield a lot. Tucker's going to have to be key down there. But I'll tell you what, I sometimes you just got to say, you know what, I got to sacrifice a little defense for these bats. I really don't have that big a problem with it.
You have to.
Because I want those bats.
But it's also, also it's connected to what we said before.
Yeah.
Like, you can't.
Especially when you're giving away outs at
the
bottom.
You're giving away two at bats. So you can't put Brantley or Alvarez on the bench.
You can't
so
put
you
Siri
have to do
up
that.
There.
There is a snowball effect to all of this. Mm-hmm. And hopefully it pays off. I think the Astros are in good enough position to where it can. I think you can go take two out of three, or you can take one and bring it back to Houston, you'll be fine. But there is a snowball effect to the Maldonado decision now.
Let's say in three games, only once does an outfielder not make a play that costs a run, you know, or costs a game eventually. It's a one-run game, let's say. I still feel good about it. Right. I really do, compared to what you know, putting like a McCormick or a Siri out there, and you're almost – I mean, McCormick can hit, Siri can hit a little bit. But that's still not as much confidence.
And I don't think Martin Maldonado, I think right now he's found his place with the Astros because he's a damn good catcher. But I think if the Astros were still in the National League, we wouldn't see as much Martin Maldonado as we do.
Yes.
So, and I know you keep hearing Yadier Molina. Yadier Molina's 280 hitter in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same thing. So I think this is where, like right now, like in the American League, I can see where Dusty's doing it. And keeping Maldi in. But in the National League, make no mistake about it, if the Astros were still in the National League like the old days, you wouldn't be seeing Maldonado behind the plate as often as you do.
If the bats go silent and the Astros lose game three, I think you'll see Castro in four or five. Because the reason would be something along those lines, either giving up a run or a lead or whatever because of an outfield misplay or a ball you couldn't get to that you otherwise would. Well, you're not going to replace those guys and then not being able to score at the bottom.
And you also had Maldonado, who was hitting like 500 against Charlie Morton for whatever reason. That was one of the things he was hanging his hat on. Charlie's not here no more.
Yeah.
He's not dead.
Yeah.
He's a good guy if you haven't heard.
He is. I heard that.
We'll see. That's the good and the bad of the Astros, who evened the series yesterday at one game apiece. Coming up, the latest on Deshaun Watson. A team is out of the sweepstakes, and their reasoning has me thinking – even more so why Nick Caserio needs to hold off next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, Deshaun Watson. What's the latest? Pat McAfee feels our pain when it comes to John McClain. He's going to join Clinton's show tomorrow live at Kirby Ice House in anticipation of Game 3 of the World Series. Here was Pat McAfee talking about John effing McClain.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
Yeah, Barry Jackson, anyway. He of the Miami Herald is reporting that the Houston Chronicle reported that the Dolphins and Texans have agreed on a trade, and via the Houston Chronicle are being traded, and the Stephen Ross only okay with this if he had clarity on the legal situation, but that isn't going to be settled by November 2nd. So what is Barry Jackson of the Miami Herald reporting? Well, he's reporting that the Houston Chronicle is reporting something, and then John McClain of the Houston Chronicle said, I never reported that. So who's cooking up bullshit here? It seems like everybody at this
point. Involved. Everyone involved has, I mean, there's just so much out there. I don't know what to believe. I have no idea.
John McClain of the Houston Chronicle.
They were just as confused as we were.
And it kind of makes me feel a little better because, you know, John was.
They don't talk to him like in studio every week for an hour, so maybe that's
No, I'm not talking about mixing it up and disagreeing with John, because we do that the time.
I'm talking about like the confusion.
I was like more like, wait a minute, did I miss something?
Houston Chronicle.
I'll pull back the curtain a little bit just because I like to be honest with the audience. So when that Miami Herald guy originally said it, I was like, man, screw this guy. Mm-hmm. Lane didn't say that.
Right.
I talked to him for an hour. You know, the Houston Chronicle paywall can be a pain, but I do have a subscription.
Mm-hmm.
But I talked to this guy for an hour, and he's on our airwaves 3 hours a week. We're fortunate enough to have him. Surely John McClain didn't say that.
Right.
And I, like, said as much. And then I texted McClain. I said, hey, did you say this? He said, no, I did not. So I go take a shower, come out of the shower, and I see that John McClain has tweeted, I did not say this.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, someone that I know like sends me a screenshot of, kind of says that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And that was where I was just like, okay, what is up with me?
And that's why I was confused.
I am not a liar.
I'm not saying you are, John. I'm just saying I was very confused by the whole thing. And I honestly think that John's just being told a lot of stuff. And I think it's not the same thing. I think it's kind of symbolic of culture too, in that I don't think Nick Caserio is telling John this, and he's getting this information somewhere. And I just don't think, first of all, I don't think it's in the Texans' best interest to trade Deshaun Watson right now. We can have that argument, and we have for a long time, and we might be having it at an even more intense level in the next 5 days if he does get moved. But I just don't think that it would – I don't think that report getting out benefited the Texans in any way, shape, or form. Do you?
No, not really. I mean, I think it was – see, the reason I'm hedging is because the Texans clearly were behind it at some level.
No, for sure. Mark Berman and John McClain ain't talking to the ball boy.
They had a plan for wanting to get that out. So I think they thought it would maybe benefit them. That's why I'm trying to figure out how it would. I think maybe just closure, which goes back to my point that I've always believed. I value the embarrassment factor for Cal and Hannah a lot more than most people. I think that they just cringe anytime we talk about this, or anybody talks about it, or the fans, you know, talk about not renewing their season tickets because they're angry at Jack Easterby or Cal or whatever. And then there's the whole specter of the Deshaun Watson allegations, and their skin crawls when they hear these things, and they just want to move past it.
That's what makes your skin crawl? For real?
That they're associated
with.
That's
what it is?
That their fathers.
That's what it takes.
Well, come on.
Okay.
I mean,
that's.
What was the Buffalo score? 48? Something like that. That which should make you
44
cringe.
44 zip. No, I mean,
that should make it.
So allegations that we don't even know about, that we don't even know what happened or what didn't happen. That makes your skin crawl more so than, you know, Bill O'Brien being a general manager,
mm-hmm.
or
yes,
bringing in the Patriots chaplain and letting him be the face of your organization. All these Sports Illustrated articles.
Yes.
Family football.
More so than Whitney Merciless and J.J. Watt saying what they've said about the organization and whatnot.
Yes.
That's sad.
Yes.
No, that's very sad.
I mean, I'm not on repeat here. I'm answering your questions.
I mean, you're just you assume it makes their skin crawl, right?
I assume it based on conversations with people and knowing the family. Look, I'm not going to Thanksgiving, but you know what I'm saying? Knowing of them and about them enough, and what Bob McNair was about and what he stood for, that I think it really, really bothers them a lot. And I think that's big factor behind this.
What would bother Bob?
We have Cal McNair talking about this culture. And what they are.
Yeah.
Listen to what he emphasizes the most in this, because I think that it ties into what my point is. I think it really makes their skin crawl.
As we look forward, it's important for me to remind everyone who the Houston Texans are as an organization. Our culture has been repeatedly under question, so let me clear that up for all of you right now. We are an organization committed to excellence, both on and off the field. We operate with integrity, character, a winning mentality, and a strong sense of community.
Integrity.
We believe you can't go wrong by doing what's right, and ask our fans to trust that we know what's right.
Well, forget that last part, because they don't. Integrity, character, sense of community, this is what they hang their hats on. And it's an embarrassment for them that this is going on, that people are bailing, that Deshaun Watson's deal is...
People aren't bailing because of Deshaun Watson's
accusations.
You know that. Though.
Most people know that.
So they don't know that? They think people are bailing because of Deshaun? Come on. People are bailing because Deshaun's not going to be on the team anymore because he didn't want to be there before.
Yeah.
You truly think that that's what they think? That people are bailing because of Deshaun?
I think
they
consider Deshaun Watson the villain. They consider Deshaun Watson the black mark on the organization. He just said, you know, trust us that we know what we're doing. What? But that's what they believe. That they know what they're doing. Nobody else doesn't. Trust us that we know what we're doing. I'm telling you, man. That's what it is. I'm just saying.
Okay, well, that's terrifying to me.
Well,
very
be.
Terrifying.
Should be.
That doesn't sound great. Like, even a little bit.
Not even a little bit?
No, I mean, what? Man, it's got to be like, what do you think would make Bob's skin crawl? Let's say since Bob, pour one out for the legend, Bob McNair. Like if Bob was looking down on Cal and everything that's happened with this organization and everything that has gone on, what makes Bob's skin crawl? Is it just the Deshaun stuff? Is it all the others? Because I think he would be a little bit just as upset with some of the decisions that have been made on the field.
I think that's a trick question because I don't think Bob would have ever let it get this far.
No, I'm saying if he's watching, like if he has nothing to do with it, not if Bob would have been owner. I'm saying if Bob McNair is in heaven looking down on this, mm-hmm. what is making his skin crawl about everything that's happened since he gone? I'll start with J.J. Watt not finishing his career as a Texan.
That's a little more specific than what I was, that the first thing that came to mind for me. I think if he's looking down on this organization right now, he's saying, how did you lose that connection we had with our fans? How did you let that happen? The connection with the fans was what this Texans had through thick and thin.
And there's still some of it. There's still some of it.
Is there?
What's up, Debbie? Just a little bit.
I'm telling you, it's not one or two people. The overall connection.
Why you always got to bring Debbie into these conversations?
She is die hard, man.
Is she really dying though? Does the score matter to Debbie?
No.
Yeah, so she's not dying hard. No. Die hard is someone who's going there. Die hard is like Marty from Nuff's Head.
Yes.
And like Spin and those guys.
Yeah.
Those are diehards.
Those are diehards.
They
know football.
Debbie cool as long as the team here. As long as the team is in Houston.
Debbie doesn't
care
about the score. She ain't a diehard.
No.
She's a not going anywhere.
Yeah.
She's not dying anything. She's living her best life no matter what.
Yeah.
The Nuff Setters and all those guys, the Grill of Meat tailgaters, all those dudes, those are the diehards. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones that are feeling the pain of each loss.
But I think he's looking down and saying, we always had that. When we were losing, when we were winning, we always had an incredible connection with the fans, and it's gone. How did you let that happen?
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
713-572-4610 to get in. Chris, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Yeah, I heard Lopez and y'all talking about losing hope in the Texans right now, just with everything going on with Easterby. And part of me feels that way, but part of me doesn't, just because of the fact that Deshaun Watson is still a Texan. And not for the reason you think. I don't think he's going to play for us. I just think that if Easterby did have complete control or major influence, he would have already forced Casario's hand to trade him. And I actually was hoping Deshaun would be traded so we could start looking forward to capital and everything in the draft. But right now, I'm actually coming out with Landry. I'm hoping that if we hold on to Watson and basically heading after the trade deadline, that means that Casario's got more power than we're giving him credit for. Because, again, if they're all about image and culture and all that kind of stuff, they would have forced Watson out of here already. So I'm hoping, that's my hope, to not lose hope in the fact that if we keep Watson past the deadline, Casario's got more power, and maybe, just maybe, we got a chance to see something through.
Yeah, I'm with him. I mean, hope is kind of like there's different layers of hope, and, you know, hope, sometimes there's bigger obstacles to overcome with hope, but I am with him, and that's part of the reason that I would like to hold on to Watson. the value is obviously at the top because I want them to get max value and I want them to get the max amount of assets. There's no guarantee to it, mm-hmm. but I think there's a bigger possibility. But I do think it would be like at least symbolic that because you assume and many people assume, and I think rightfully so. I'm not questioning your assumption. I think it's a healthy assumption that you just said like Cal McNair, Jack Easterby would like to be just done with Watson and move on.
Yes.
So if that doesn't happen, I do think at least there would be like some sort of hope, like he just said that, you know, at least Caserio didn't get forced.
The hope
to
would be
it.
Picks, like the actual football assets. What I'm saying is in my helplessness and hopelessness that I've never felt before with one of my teams has to do with just the organization and its future. Because I've never, you can give me 3 firsts and 3 seconds and I'd be happy that we got them. But
I wouldn't, I'd be sad.
I'll make you happy.
I need more than that.
Four firsts and 4 seconds.
Let's go.
All right. So, okay.
Let's go.
You can give me 4 firsts and 4 seconds.
All right, let's go.
And I'll be happy with those assets, but I'll still have that feeling of helplessness and hopelessness because we know what this team does with good things. This is why the Texans can't have good things. This is Jack Easterby. That's what I'm saying. I would be happy with the picks, but I'd be like, oh, God, Easterby's going to have a say in this. You know,
I mean, I would hope not. Now, this is the other thing that I think that it's not necessarily me agreeing with what you've said and what we've had one of our biggest disagreements on with Easterby and personnel. But, you know, I've said Nick Caserio is in charge of personnel and Jack Easterby has nothing to do with it. And we've argued about it. But I actually think that even if Nick Caserio is like 100% in charge, and let's say Jack Easterby, they lock him in a closet or something like that on draft day, and he has mm-hmm. nothing to do with it. He's not in the draft room. Now we know he likes to show his face
yeah,
and awkwardly try to look for high fives when no one's high-fiving him. But even if Jack Easterby is not in the draft room, I still think, or in free agency, I still think there's an impact just because – the culture is so messed up because of Easterby.
Right.
So he's
impacting. That's my
it.
Point.
Even if he's not impacting it, he's impacting
yeah,
it.
Yeah, give me 4 firsts, 4 seconds, and I'm still like, great, but what about that guy?
Yeah.
You know.
What you going to do with the picks?
Yeah.
So whether Jack Easterby's saying, hey, Nick, let's pick this guy out of SMU, Southern Methodist University. I know you like this guy from Alabama, but let's pick this guy from SMU.
Quarterback from Liberty, running back from SMU. Cornerback from Oral Roberts.
Houston Baptist.
Oh, yeah. Now, we're staying out of Baylor, okay? But even if he's not doing that, like he is impacting. Guys, I really do think there's a possibility that they get Elway'd or Eli'd and someone refuses to play here. Or the agent says, maybe the agent, like, when there's a visit, he's like, we'll probably skip that one.
Yeah.
We're not going to go to there.
Don't run 100%.
We're going to go to Indianapolis.
No 3-quarter speed.
You know
they start start tanking the tryouts and stuff.
Like if I was a top prospect and I
what about the interviews? Because you know Easterby's in on the interviews. Because he's after all, if you didn't hear earlier, on his updated bio, it says exactly this: in his role, Easterby manages all football operations and directs the overall culture of the organization.
Thank God.
So you know he's in on the interviews. So, like, if you know, players start going, well, you know.
How often do you pray?
Never.
Thank you. Have a nice
That's
day.
Right. Those players would be going, like, dodge the bullet.
We dodge the bullet.
If I was, like, if the Texans had the number one pick and Jack Easterby were here and mm-hmm. I was, like, the number one prospect, like, the week before, I'm eating CC's every day. Like all my measurements and everything. I mean, I'm going to the pizza buffet every day. I'm going to Double Dave's every day.
What are your hobbies? Women and massages.
What would you say culture means to you?
Culture? Oh, man. My culture's on the streets, baby. That's where I got my culture.
Latina, Colombian, just depends. Man, The whoopee. The whoopee's still there. Can I get a reminder from Jack about the good things, the positive things? The positive things going on.
The Astros are playing baseball.
There we go. That's all we need to know. Astros are playing baseball. The crazy thing about this is that, like, if we're just talking about positives of certain things, like, they're not giving us any.
Dude.
Like, that's the thing. Like, they're not, like, I think you naturally have to look at the gray area. I think a loophole, shout out to this loophole for the text, like, and it wasn't like one of those pissy, why are you guys so negative about the Texans? Because they suck. And there's nothing good going on. Like, you want us to lie to you? Like, yeah. We're being honest with you. Like, that's our job. Like, we take it pretty serious to, like, be
What's
honest with
some good
with
things
you.
We could talk about?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, Jonathan Greenard's been good. I like some things that I see from Nico Collins. But, like, what do you want us to say? But one of the texters, one of the loopholes was like, man, I feel bad for you guys because it's a great job that you guys have. And I agree, but... damn, the Texans ain't giving you much to work with after next Wednesday when the Astros are gone. And I'm like, you're right. Yeah. Like, I'm on my knees. Give me something.
Yeah, exactly.
Coley, learn how to manage a game. Mm-hmm. Lonnie Johnson, Titus Howard, you guys stink. Quit tweeting. Tim Kelly, quit telling me that David Johnson's good.
I when I hear those things from
Jack Easterby, go away.
And most of our listeners, 99% of our listeners are with us on this because they get it. But when I hear those things, they want us to lie to them?
Yeah, I mean, I want them to give me something. Maybe Terod will do it. Terod's going to walk out on the field like Keanu Reeves and the Replacements and upset the Rams.
Yeah.
There you go.
Like John McClain, we're not going to lie.
Football Friday tomorrow. Astros game 3 tomorrow. Gonna be a big day. Football Friday, little Astros Friday. Never hurt anyone. For the OG John Lopez, for Figgy Fig being the best in the world at what he do with a Care Bear shirt, playing patty cake. Hell is wrong with you, Figgy.
Swag, man.
I'm Landry Locker. This has been another edition of In the Loop, manana, 10 a.m. In meantime, Clint Sterner, Ron Hughley are next. Like a picture in a frame.
And if you thank you, Peggy.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.